From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Interior Department Secretary Ryan Zinke announced his resignation late last week, saying he will leave the Trump administration at the end of the year. The increasingly cornered Zinke has been at the center of more than a dozen investigations, much like his former colleague Scott Pruitt had been at the EPA. In fact, the Interior Department's Inspector General referred one investigation to the Justice Department in October. President Donald Trump tweeted Zinke's imminent departure after months of reports that the White House was pushing for his resignation. The Washington Post, which obtained a copy of his private resignation letter, said that Zinke blamed his departure on, quote, vicious and politically motivated attacks. His resignation does not absolve him of the legal probes that he faces. Zinke is expected to be replaced by David Bernhardt, a man that the New York Times describes as a, quote, former oil lobbyist who's played a central role in enacting President Trump's agenda of rolling back conservation measures and opening up public lands to drilling and mining. To discuss Zinke's legacy and what to expect from his replacement is Noah Greenwald, director of this Endangered Species Program at the Center for Biological Diversity. Welcome to the program, Noah.
Oh, thank you, Sonali.
Let's first talk about Zinke before we get to Bernhardt. So this is an Interior Department Secretary who spent the last 2 years just running roughshod over public lands and over, in many cases, the sort of resources, the commons, if you will, that we have grown to rely on. What comes to mind immediately is his action in Utah, where President Obama had designated national monuments, and Zinke oversaw the rolling back of those designations. Is Utah the sort of centerpiece of the destruction that Zinke wrought?
Well, I would say that, you know, Zinke pushed oil and gas drilling, mining, coal mining. He reversed a moratorium on new coal mining leases put in place under the Obama administration. So, I mean, this is a man who worked hard during his tenure at Secretary of Interior on behalf of the oil and gas industry and mining industry rather than on behalf of the American public.
And his the ethics probes that he faces have been cited as, you know, a big reason why he's being pushed out. I know organizations like yours have said that his destructive legacy is, you know, a much bigger issue given what he's done. There was an interesting op-ed in the Washington Post by Colin O'Mara of the National Wildlife Federation that made that case. But do you think that the two are linked, that somebody like Zinke is, in a way, it's not surprising that he's involved in these ethics probes, just like Scott Pruitt was at the EPA, that these are basically men who don't really respect the rule of law, it seems.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a very corrupt individual, and I think there's a direct tie between the ethics probes and what he's done to our public lands and endangered species. I mean, one of the probes involves a land deal in his hometown of Whitefish, Montana, that is with, I believe it's a vice president of Halliburton. So, I mean, he's doing a crooked land deal in his hometown that involves him getting a brewery in exchange with, you know, this major oil and gas company. And, you know, at the same time, he's working to open up more of our precious public lands to oil and gas drilling, and including, you know, the Bears Ears National Monument, which, you know, he shrunk by, you know, most of it was taken out of monument status, and then parts of it were put up for oil and gas leasing shortly thereafter. I mean, the Interior Department tripled offering of oil and gas leasing compared to the Obama administration. So, I mean, I think the two are intimately connected, and that this is just a highly corrupt individual who is, you know, from our perspective, the worst Secretary of Interior in history.
Well, I think it might be useful to remind ourselves of what the mandate of the Interior Department is. I mean, it sort of has an obscure sounding name. I think a lot of Americans may be hard pressed to describe what it is that the Interior Department actually does or is supposed to do. Can you give us just a brief overview of what's expected from this major federal government agency?
Sure. So it's actually quite a sprawling, the Department of Interior is a sprawling agency with multiple sub-agencies. And so it oversees management of hundreds of millions of acres of public land, of oil and gas leasing, mineral rights across the country and on the outer continental shelf. It also oversees the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which has primary responsibility for most endangered species in the country, the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages our dams and water. So I mean, it's the Department of Interior is a huge department and has, you know, multiple agencies within it, including those ones I mentioned, the Bureau of Land Management and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which are, you know, the key ones for public lands and for endangered species and where a lot of the damage that Zinke and Bernhardt have done.
Would you say that the central theme around both his alleged ethics violations and the actions he took as Interior Department Secretary were around giving away our public commons, our public lands, over to private interests, in particular oil and gas interests? And those private interests could include himself personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that characterizes the situation quite well, Sonali.
So he has wrought this destruction, of course, at the behest of Donald Trump. There's a reason that President Trump picked Ryan Zinke as his Interior Department Secretary. What do you think is what he has done reversible? Are we looking at decades of destruction arising from what he's done? Or can a future administration look at everything that Zinke did and try to turn back the clock? Because some of these things are absolutely critical parts of the nation's resources. They can exacerbate and have been exacerbating climate change, such as the coal mining issue, such as the opening up of oil and gas drilling. Is Zinke's legacy reversible?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I think he's, you know, definitely causing some damage that is irreversible. You know, when you pull those fossil fuels out of the ground and, you know, burn those fossil fuels and put those emissions into the atmosphere, that's not reversible. But the leases can be bought out. We're fighting many of the leases, and so some of them are getting delayed or not being put through, and that's certainly reversible. You know, so many of these things, you know, hopefully we will get that Green New Deal can be reversed, because, you know, this is the exact opposite direction we need to be going. We need to be transitioning away from our dependence on fossil fuels. We need to be doing more to stem the extinction crisis before it's too late. And, you know, the Trump administration is just a disaster in that regard.
What specific damage did Zinke's leadership do to our endangered species in the United States? You're the director of the Center of the Endangered Species Program at the Center for Biological Diversity. So on that specific issue, how do you summarize his action?
I would summarize his action on endangered species as just deeply hostile. And, you know, just as one example, towards the end of the Obama administration, Sally Jewell put in a rule in place that would have banned lead ammunition and tackle on our national wildlife refuges. And Zinke reversed that. So, you know, here's this, you know, we all know that lead is terribly damaging to the environment. We're talking about national wildlife refuges, places where wildlife are supposed to be secure, yet we still allow lead ammunition and tackle in those places. And, you know, Zinke took the step of reversing a very sensible ban. Right now, there's proposed regulations that weaken, severely weaken, just undercut implementation of the Endangered Species Act. We're waiting for a final rule on those at any point. I mean, this may be a good transition point to Bernhardt because, you know, Bernhardt was the top lawyer in the Department of Interior under the Bush administration, and many of these proposed regulatory changes were first proposed under the Bush administration, and they weren't successful in getting them through. And here he is back as the deputy secretary, maybe, and will be acting secretary, you know, putting through many of those same rules, and in some cases, you know, things that are much worse than what was conceived under the Bush administration.
So we have the case then of a man who's had this destructive 2-year legacy, likely being replaced by another man who essentially has the same approach. And I'm wondering if Ryan Zinke's downfall was then just not following the rules of ethics. Ethics rules rather than simply protecting our public lands. I mean, if all it's going to take to destroy our public lands is to put in place somebody who knows better how to avoid the ethics violations, then we're really in trouble.
I think that's right. And you know, to a large degree, I think we were in trouble with Zinke there, you know, because Bernhardt was deputy secretary. And so on things like these regulatory changes that are going to severely weaken implementation of the Endangered Species Act, that was probably Bernhardt in the first place and
Right.
not Zinke. You know, so I think, you know, really, you know, in terms of protection of public lands and endangered species, the problem is the Trump administration itself and just its cronyism.
Is Zinke going to be facing any criminal prosecutions as far as you know? I mean, he's the subject of something like 15 investigations, one of which was referred by his department's own inspector general to the Justice Department. I mean, resigning shouldn't mean that you get goes, you know, unpunished, if you will, or held unaccountable for what you might have done.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's to be determined, right? It's up to the Justice Department whether they're going to act on that referral or not. And unfortunately, we don't have any influence over that at this point. It falls under prosecutorial discretion. But I would certainly hope so. You know, I think this, if I had to predict, I don't think this is the last we'll see of Ryan Zinke. You know, I think it's certainly possible that he would run for office in Montana or elsewhere. And so I think to the extent that these ethics violations follow him, that would be a good thing from our perspective, because this is a guy he's not an ethical guy, and he's not a guy who, you know, puts the public interest first.
Do you think that this kind of behavior, this sort of corrupt behavior that we're seeing from all sections of the Trump administration is something that actually, you know, hurts the popularity of their ideology? I mean, you have, we talked earlier about how destruction of our public lands, giving away of it to fossil fuel interests, in a way seems to go hand in hand with this attitude of anything goes, I'll do anything to benefit myself personally. But I'm wondering if they, you know, are they going to keep getting away with this stuff? I don't know if Bernhard is going to continue Zinke's legacy exactly the way it is, but it feels as though the same sorts of things that people like Zinke and Pruitt are being accused of now, had others been accused of that just 3 years ago, we would be seeing a completely different response. We would be seeing a much stronger response. And it feels like we're numb now to these men and their actions.
Yeah, I agree. The Trump administration sets a low bar. Yeah, it really does. It sets a low bar on just ethics, on any kind of just values that we hold dear. And, you know, I certainly hope we get, I was glad to see the House flip, and I certainly hope we get a better administration next time. You know, the agency I focus the most on is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And because of their work on endangered species. And that's an agency that's just badly in need of of reform and of increased funding and of, you know, attention. And, you know, it's over many years, there's just been an erosion of the scientific integrity at Fish and Wildlife Service, of morale. And, you know, under Republican administrations like the Bush administration, like the Trump administration, the agency comes under serious attack and are not allowed to do their mission. And then under Democratic administrations, under the Clinton administration and the Obama administration, they're not so much under attack, but they're not given a lot of priority either. And they're not, you know, their funding isn't dramatically increased. Their mission isn't, you know, there isn't a reinvestment in their mission. And so, you know, we're hopeful that after 2020, that we see something much different.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up the issue of the morale of the staff at these agencies, because the heads of these agencies, the top leadership may change administration to administration, but you have people who've made their careers out of protecting public lands, out of protecting endangered species. I can only imagine how demoralizing it is. Now, there's also the issue of science and the disrespect for science. And then there's the issue of secrecy. How did Ryan Zinke... how did he oversee secrecy like we haven't seen before, the sort of lack of transparency about how decision making took place at the department?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this administration has been very secretive, and Zinke himself, you know, we've tried hard to get the calendars and communications of Zinke and Bernhardt both. They do a lot of communication in person without writing it down. They do a lot to cover their tracks, and they've put in place some policies. So they issued a memo to staff throughout the whole of Fish and Wildlife Service telling them to withhold more documents under the Freedom of Information Act. A former Koch Industries operative in charge of Freedom of Information Acts at Department of Interior. So now all FOIA responses go through this, you know, former Koch person before they go out to the public. So this is an administration and Department of Interior and Ryan Zinke and Bernhardt in particular go out of their way to keep the public spotlight away from what they're doing. And that's similar to Pruitt too. I mean, Pruitt's famous for having built a soundproof booth for himself.
Spending a lot of taxpayer money for this. Now, what role do you think grassroots activism played in getting Zinke to resign? He clearly did not want to resign. I refer to the Washington Post having acquired his private resignation letter, where he basically blamed political and vicious attacks. But the White House was eager to get him out, presumably because it was just embarrassing how many investigations he was under. Do you feel that pressure from organizations like yours and grassroots activists calling Zinke out, demanding he be fired, played a large role in his resignation?
I do think that it played a large role in his organization, just by, you know, shining the spotlight on him and shining the spotlight on his questionable ethical decisions. I also think the change in the House of Representatives, you know, there was definitely going to be oversight hearings that were focused on him. So I think that the election made a big difference as well.
Does Zinke's replacement need to be confirmed by the Senate? Is that the Interior Department heads need Senate confirmation?
Yeah. Yep. The Secretary of Interior does need Senate confirmation. So whoever they replace him with will need that. And actually, the Deputy Secretary Bernhardt did actually get Senate confirmation. So if it is him, you know, hopefully there will be more scrutiny this time around. But he was able to get that. And, you know, other positions, that's another thing that they've done is, you know, the head of Fish and Wildlife Service, for example, is supposed to get Senate confirmation. And they just haven't had anyone nominated to go through that. And they've done that with a lot of positions. It's been another way that they've avoided our system of checks and balances.
So there's just acting heads at leading these sub-departments?
Yeah.
Wow. There should be some sort of deadline for an interim person, you would think. So if, on the one hand, Bernhardt has already been confirmed by the Republican-dominated Senate as the deputy, which may mean that he would go through a confirmation easily if he is nominated to head the department on a permanent basis. On the other hand, the Senate now has 2 years of his work that they can judge him by. But of course, it's not clear if the Senate really cares about the violations of the public trust in how lands are treated, how species are treated, as much as they care about how it looks. Do you know if Bernhardt has been directly involved in any ethics scandals, or is it just that he's helped push Zinke's political agenda?
I think there's been some, you know, so he was in the Department of Interior under the Bush administration. Then he went to a lobbying firm for the interim period, you know, during the Obama years, and lobbied on behalf of, you know, large agricultural interests, oil and gas, mining, a whole slew of corporate interests. And so there has been some questions about whether he's recusing himself under all situations, whether, you know, there's a period of time where he's not supposed to work on particular issues. There's some questions about that, but nothing to the same extent as what Zinke was facing and what he's doing. So it's, you know, we'll see. I think that could be one thing that could come out during a new Senate confirmation if the Trump administration, in fact, does nominate him to be secretary.
Noah, give out a website for the Center for Biological Diversity where people can find out more about the work you do.
Yeah, it's biologicaldiversity.org.
And we'll link to that from our website. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Lonnie. Good to talk to you.
Noah Greenwald is director of the Endangered Species Program at the Center for Biological Diversity. We've been discussing Ryan Zinke's destructive legacy and what to expect from the man likely to replace him. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.